Welcome to The Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families, centered on biblical truth and Catholic teaching, because God's kingdom begins at home. Now welcome your hosts, Mari, John, and Craig, here on AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Good morning and welcome into the family room. This is Mari. I'm here with John.
Hello. How's it going, Mari?
It's going great. So today we're going to talk about a difficult topic, but it's also a topic that has a lot of hope because our God is a God of much hope. We're going to be talking about a book that has just come out August 20th, and it's called Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriages, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. I'm really excited to talk to the author of the book and or one of the authors of the book and just hear about her experiences as well as her hopes for this book. But I've had friends, obviously, who have suffered through miscarriage, through stillbirth, even through loss of a child at a pretty young age.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's fascinating that we think we know how we would react, but when you're walking alongside somebody who's been through that, you see such grace from God that you can't predict what's going to happen, right? And I've seen friends and people who've gone through this, and the grace from God during that time has just been extraordinary. And just the love for that child, and talking about that child, I've got one friend who we still talk about her son who passed away very, very young from a congenital heart defect. And we were there. I got to be at the hospital and meet him and hold him. But we still talk about him. And she talks to her kids about him and about how they've got their brother in heaven and how their brother in heaven prays for them and all of that. What's your thoughts about this topic, John?
I had a little bit different thought about it. It would lead to what you said, but for me, this topic is one that you have got to find a way to be open to the grace of God, because as all these things transpire, it feels like a complete contradiction.
Yeah.
God has given us the ability to create. We obeyed him and we created, and then he took away the creation. Just the ache that has to leave you. For you to say you can see the beauty, you have to be open to that, because this is, I'm anxious to hear what Cassie's thoughts are, because to me, it is just that thing that rips your heart wide open and says, either you're going to let God in and let him complete his will, or you're just going to have ache after ache after ache. So that's kind of where my mind and heart went as I thought about this.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, it's a good time to start in prayer, too. Would you open us in prayer, please, John?
I will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, this morning we come to you holding the hand of your Blessed Virgin. If there is anyone who understands the pain of a suffering child or the loss of a child, it is the Blessed Virgin. If there's anyone who can secure favors, it is her. And so we just open our hearts and open our minds that we might hear the message, that we might feel the relief that those listeners out there who have walked this path or are walking this path with someone else will hear the message that you would have them hear, and that that open and wounded heart would find and feel your healing and be a messenger of your great grace, your great mercy, and your great love, even through the most difficult of trials. Father, we trust you. We ask you to breathe your Holy Spirit into this conversation. And we begin it, placing it into your hands through the Blessed Virgin. In Jesus' name, we pray all things. Amen.
Amen.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. So as we said, we have got Cassie Everetts with us today. She wrote this book. It's called, along with her co-author, Patrick O'Hearn, and it's called Nursery of Heaven, Miscarriages, Stillbirth, and Infant Loss in the Lives of the Saints and Today's Parents. And so Cassie is a wife, a mom, an author, a speaker. She has five little ones in heaven, and she has six children here on earth with her and her husband, Aaron. She's a contributing writer at Relevant Radio, and her writing has also appeared in numerous other Catholic publications. She has degrees in theology and communication arts from Franciscan in Steubenville. And she also has a website called everydayanne.com, which we'll get into later as well. So Cassie, welcome into the family room. We're so glad to have you with us here.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with both of you.
It'll be good. It'll be really, we appreciate your willingness to do this. Maybe a good thing, our listeners truly appreciate hearing the faith journey, the walk that people take to get to the point where they are and where they share these awesome conversations and topics and concepts with us. Can you give us a little bit of your faith walk, Cassie?
Sure. Yeah, so I was raised a cradle Catholic in a family where we went to Mass and we did the rosary a few times a month together as a family. And I went to, you know, Catholic grade school and Catholic high school. I always, I guess as much as you can say, like, took my faith seriously. It's always hard in high school when, even in a Catholic high school, you know, we're all supposed to be Catholic and believe the same thing, and we all go to Mass, but yet people get, like, singled out for believing or taking the relationship with Christ more seriously than others or taking it serious. And I guess I was one of those people that was singled out and had, you know, my senior yearbook, people would be like, oh, good luck being a nun, and just make these really, like, sarcastic remarks to me. And at the time, you know, it didn't really bother me, and it still doesn't. But it just goes to show that you can be in the setting surrounded by people of similar faith and background, but it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be supported in where you are. So that's, you know, kind of like my elementary high school journey. And then I knew that I wanted to go to a really faithful and solid Catholic university. And even though it was really hard because I didn't want to be far away from my family and my parents who I, you know, was close to. So I just was, okay, like, Lord, you need to give me a sign. Like, where do you want me to go? We visited some different colleges, and I'll never forget, I was praying, you know, as this, like, 17-year-old. And this priest said, okay, you know, ask Jesus for anything. You just received him in the Eucharist, and ask him for anything that's on your heart. And so I was like, okay, Lord, where do you want me to go to school? Like, where do you want me to go? And within, like, you know, the next sentence that the priest spoke, he said, when I was at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and I was like, okay, like, there's... because I was debating between that university and some closer at home. So I was like, okay, that's where I'll go. So I found myself doing my college years at Franciscan, and it was truly, you know, a blessed time to be surrounded by people of so many, like minds and faith, and to have a group of friends to go to Mass with every day and encourage each other in your faith journey, and to pray the rosary with. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful, blessed time for me to really grow in my faith and become closer to the Lord and to have adoration available every day. And so that's where I had went to college. And I think that's where I really, like, grew in my faith, and where, like, the seeds of Catholicism that were planted in me really, like, were watered and took root and were able to grow and just be strengthened in my faith. And then it was later that I met my husband. We, you know, just, I knew I wanted a good Catholic spouse, and we were blessed to meet each other at my first job out of college. And he was, you know, very faithful. I actually saw him at daily Mass, and I was like, who is this man that would be going to daily Mass and taking their faith serious? Like, I want to meet him. And so eventually we ended up meeting, and I guess, you know, like, your faith just continues to grow when you have a spouse that encourages you in that and calls you onto holiness as well.
Mm. That's beautiful. And I'm just thinking about how amazingly mature you were in your faith that at 17, you know, for this big life decision, you're not asking your friends, you're not asking teachers, whatever, you're actually talking to God and asking a priest and asking God for guidance in that. That's so absolutely beautiful. That's great.
Yeah, I kind of see it as, like, you know, we look back when we're confirmed.
Yep.
And we never, like, are like, okay, like, we're waiting for this big, like, Holy Spirit moment to take place at our confirmation. But it's really, like, just being open. I think everyone can kind of look back in our lives and we can say, like, oh yeah, like, that was the Holy Spirit. Like, that was the gift of confirmation, the sacrament, the grace that came with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and they tell us in the Old Testament, right, God tells us that any decision we make, we're supposed to come to him first, right? And we just forget to do that. So I think that's beautiful. So you and your husband got married, as we said in your, as the, when we introduced you, you have got 5 little ones in heaven and you have 6 children here on earth. So you are very busy. Do you want to share with us a little bit about your family?
Sure. Yeah. And I guess this continues to kind of, like, where, you know, I think we shouldn't ever be like stop growing our faith journey. And so this is another area where like God really called me to grow closer to him and trusting in his sacred heart. So my husband and I, we got married. We're like any young couple. You never imagine, you know, what's going to come and what the Lord has planned for you. So we got married, said, I do. We'll get a house and start a family, and no idea of what the future held. We had no idea that I would have any kind of infertility issues or problems carrying. And it was our first wedding anniversary where I was just shy of 12 weeks pregnant and right before Christmas. And we were traveling back through with my family, and I started, you know, showing some of the first signs of miscarriage, but it wasn't on my radar at all. Like, I didn't think mm-hmm. that this was happening because, I don't know, I guess it wasn't something to talk about. You know, this is like dating myself. This was, you know, like 15 years ago when I had my first miscarriage. And at that time, you know, if we think it's not talked about today, like even that time, a decade ago, wasn't talked about. So I was like, I guess being naive, I was just, oh, this doesn't happen anymore. Like modern medicine, nobody really talks about miscarriage. I've never mm-hmm. heard it talked about. And then I realized, okay, like this is what's happening. I realized that this is what was happening to me. And I was taken to the emergency room, the day before Christmas, early in the morning, and just praying and begging God for that miracle. You know, here we are so close to the birth of Christ, like just holding out that miracle, that hope and the miracle, because they happen, you know, they do happen. And just, okay, Lord, like you can save this baby. Like there could be a heartbeat, like anything mm-hmm. is possible with you, and really clinging on to that. But I knew as soon as the doctor walked back in, that that wasn't the case, that I knew that this baby had passed. And it was, you know, I grabbed my husband's hand and he started crying and I started crying, and it was very, very emotional, trying time for us. And it was just very numbing to be right before Christmas and to go through all like the motions of, okay, here I am at Christmas mass and everybody singing like joy to the world and rejoicing over the celebration of the birth of Christ. And I just felt like my whole world just crashed down on me, because there I was, like nobody knew except, you know, my husband and my immediate family, like there I was grieving the loss of my baby. Mm. And so it was a very difficult, you know, and trying time, as with any miscarriage, you know, any passing mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and loss of a loved one is. But I had no idea that what to expect, no idea of, you know, like the feelings that I would have, or how much grief would overwhelm me, and not knowing how to handle that, which we, you know, we can get back to. I'll continue on since you asked me about our family. So we had sought out help from medical professionals, Dr. Thomas Hilgers, mm-hmm. Who specializes in natural technology, and everything he does is in line with church teaching. And my husband and I had decided at that time, like, that's all we would seek out. Like, we knew he was in line with Catholic teaching. And as much as our hearts longed for children, we knew that they were a gift, and like, we didn't have a right to go to all means to make that happen. So we decided at that time that would be all the medical help that we would seek. And we went to him for, you know, blood work and surgeries. And I miscarried again, and I miscarried again. Mm. And it was after, you know, like that third miscarriage that I remember sitting at the Easter vigil, because I was during Holy Week, and thinking, okay, God, where are you in this? You know, the priest was talking about how after every Good Friday, we will see Easter Sunday. Mm. After every cross, we'll at some point experience the joy of the resurrection. Like, Jesus gives us that promise and that hope. And I just sat there, again, just holding my husband's hand and fighting back all the tears, and thought, Lord, when will be our Easter Sunday? When will that come? We have just been stuck at Good Friday after Good Friday after Good Friday. Like, will we ever see that joy in our lives? And, you know, this is all of our miscarriages kind of happened over a multiple year process, just because it took a long time for me to heal mm-hmm. before I was like, okay, like we can I feel like I can go through this again if it ends in another loss.
Yeah. Right.
It was just a lot emotionally and mentally to have to like be prepared for, I guess.
Yeah.
And then it was after our fourth miscarriage that Dr. Thomas Hilders called me personally, and he just said, you know, I'm so sorry. We have nothing. There's nothing more I can do for you. We've done everything. And it was just, you know, that one sentence that I felt like everything was taken away from me. Like all the dreams I had as a child of being a mother and carrying a baby and giving birth and holding a newborn, like it just felt like everything was just ripped away from me at that moment. And I really think when we face those moments, you kind of mentioned this at the beginning, John, you know, like how difficult it is, and we just have to come to the point of surrendering. Because I just think when we come to those moments, we really have two choices where we can just be like, okay, like, God, I've had enough, and I'm going to do things my way.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens because we're hurting so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder where God is in the suffering and the pain. And we see that happen so often in our society today. And it's, you know, truly through the grace of God that we can come to the point on the other hand and say, okay, Lord, I'm on my knees. Like I surrender, and just arms wide open and saying, you, this is your, you know, I'm your child. This is your plan. You put me here. You know my mission. Like you work this out, Lord. I just surrender.
Mm.
And by, again, by the grace of God, it truly is, you know, God's grace and the Holy Spirit that we can get to that point of just surrendering. And thankfully, my husband and I were able to do that. It didn't come easy. I'm not going to be like, oh, it's just like we got the phone call. There's nothing more we can do. And then we surrender. Like it doesn't, it's not, it's a process. It's a process of, you know, like just our hearts being like churned and God working in our hearts and preparing us, you know, to get to that point. So for anybody who's in that right now, like don't expect or be hard on yourself if you're not there. Just mm-hmm. like keep praying like, Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, bring me to that point. And it will happen. Like God will get you to that point of surrender and bring you that peace that comes with it. Because truly when we can surrender and just trust completely in God's sacred heart, like a peace, an overwhelming peace will just come. And so through that, my husband and I felt the call very strongly to adopt. And God led us to international adoption. And it wasn't a short process, and this wasn't an easy process. And I'm not saying, like, this is the answer for everybody. I don't ever want to generalize my story and being like, oh, this is what you should do, because God has a special mission for each listener out there, and they have to discern where God is leading them and calling them. And for my husband and I, it was international adoption, and we found ourselves in Ghana, mm-hmm. a small country in West Africa, adopting our two sons, and we're finally able to bring them home when they were 4 and 5 years old after like almost a 3-year process.
Wow.
But I knew when we first saw their pictures and they're like looking in their brown eyes, I was like, these are our sons. Like these are my boys. And we just felt that call, you know, we surrendered the whole process to Our Lady, and through, you know, time and time, like we just felt her comfort and her protection, like her intercession, like, yes, like confirmation, like keep going, this is where my son is leading you. So we brought our sons home, and as soon as my oldest son, who was only 5, as soon as he could speak English, he started praying for a baby sister.
That's awesome.
not knowing our story at all and what we had been through, nor was I going to tell him because he was so young.
Right.
You know, our answer was just, and he was so fervent every evening. And so my answer was just, okay, you know, someday mom and dad can maybe adopt a little baby girl. Like your brother and yourself came to our family through adoption. Like maybe someday that's what God has planned for us. And every night, so fervent, praying for a baby girl. Well, little did I know, 5 months later, I would find myself staring at a pregnancy test, a positive pregnancy test, and being like, okay, Lord, like now what? Like we're open to life and your will, but I just don't know if I can go through the heartache of losing another child. And I just prayed. And at that point, after having gone through so many losses, I guess my heart turned to thank you, Lord, for this gift. And however long this baby will be with me, like, this is a gift and an honor to carry this soul and this unique being in this life. So 6 weeks, we had a heartbeat. I mean, we were doing like frequent checkups because of my history. 8 weeks, there's a heartbeat. 12 weeks, they had found a few issues that put me on bed rest. But fast forward to 34 weeks, they had me doing a C-section because of some complications. But we had our healthy baby girl, Grace, who is now 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And then 20 months after that, we had our son, Caden. 2 years after that, our daughter, Briella. And 2 years after that, our daughter, Lucia. So we went from, like, zero children for the first 8 years of our marriage to six within, like, seven and a half, 8 years. It was just like, and it was so fun. You know, people are like, oh, be careful what you pray for. Like, God really heard your prayers. And,
amen.
And yeah, I like that. It is truly, just a blessing, and I wouldn't have it, you know, any other way. Nor would have I imagined that we would be like busting out of our house, like we need more space, that our arms full and our hearts full, and living in this, you know, this joy of being blessed with so many children after what we had went through, you know, for 8 years.
Mm. That is amazing. Listeners, if you were just joining us, you were listening to Cassie Everts, and she's got, as you can tell, just an amazingly beautiful story. And we'll talk more about her book, Nursery of Heaven. So thank you for sharing that, Cassie.
Cassie, that's amazing. God so rewarded your obedience. You touched on it, Cassie, and I feel compelled to go back for 1 second. Because you said there's a point where you open your heart and say, I will be obedient still, or you just say, enough is enough, I'm doing it my way. Mm-hmm. And if there's people out there listening now who have chosen their way versus God's way, it's okay. Come back. I just don't feel God is clearly all the things he took you through. And that's the question I guess I want to ask is kind of how all this led you to new opportunities and new ministries. But I think if people are listening now and they're like, no, I turn my back because I'm done with this God who is so hurtful, just come back. Just take one tiny step, and he'll bless that. So maybe share with our listeners, Cassie, how all these experiences of great, great sorrow and great elation helped help you kind of find opportunities and ministries that you now share.
Yeah. And I want to go back just, but you know, you mentioned to people, like, if you haven't, if you feel like God has like abandoned you just, and you start to do things your own way, that there's always the opportunity to come back. And just re-echo that it's okay and normal feelings. If you feel whatever your suffering is, like if you feel in a place right now where it's like, God is not hearing my prayers, he's not answering me, I feel abandoned, you know, I feel so alone, like we've done. And I just want to re-echo that, because I don't want to make it seem like, oh, we had this complete surrender the whole time, because mm-hmm. I felt all of those feelings. Like I felt anger and I felt frustration and I felt like God had abandoned me and so alone and isolated. And like, he wasn't hearing my prayers, you know, like I was like, God, where are you in this? And those are very natural human feelings to have. So there shouldn't be any like guilt if you feel that in your heart because of the pain and suffering and the cross, you know, that you're going through. But just in that to never forget that God will never leave you. He's not abandoned you. And in your pain and suffering, he's preparing you and he's molding your heart. And now looking back, I can see that. And it's not, you know, almost it's not till like we're through the storm that we can look back and see the rainbow. You know, like we have to, God calls us through it and it's just an act of trust. But I just want to encourage people who are in any kind of suffering right now and heavy cross, and they feel like God's left them, that God is with them in their, you know, in their pain. Yeah, and so speaking to how it's helped me be able to minister, you know, through this book, through, you know, the work in the Holy Spirit, Patrick O'Hearn, who's a co-author, had asked me to help contribute and help him put this book together, because both of us had felt like when we went through our losses, like there wasn't any resources. We didn't know where to turn to, and I didn't know, like, who in the church can I go to, or I had no idea I could have a burial for my baby or anything like that, and which led to a lot of isolation. And I guess it was, you know, you go through these experiences, and I think all of us, we go through these experiences in our life, and God calls us to witness. Like, he brings us, and he shows us the beauty and shows us a hope, and he doesn't want us to keep that for ourselves. You know, like, we're supposed to share that with others and give him glory. Like, I think, how can I ever thank God for the 6 children he's blessed me with? How can I ever repay him enough? And in my small way, it's like, okay, I'll do these interviews, and I'll put, you know, do this book. And, you know, and if God wants me to speak, I'll do it wherever he calls me, because I think we're called to witness to his greatness. We're called to witness to his glory. And in doing that, we can give him praise. And so I was blessed to help put this book together as a way to help people who are going through suffering, people who are going through a similar experience, so they don't feel alone or they don't feel despair, or to know even when they do feel overwhelmed with grief or like God has left them, that they can totally just trust and like, and look to Christ on the cross and know that Jesus will be with them.
That is beautiful. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So listeners, please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Cassie Everetts.
We'll be right back in the Family Room, sponsored by VerseBright, right after this.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBright provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see versebright.com. That's versebright.com. The Quest thanks VerseBright for their support.
This is Father Kevin Peake, a priest of the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and this is my favorite prayer, the breastplate of St. Patrick. Let us pray. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
Did you know there are many men and women who are providing for their families through work in an abortion clinic? The money is good, and people often get trapped there. And Then There Were None is a registered nonprofit organization that exists to help abortion clinic workers leave the abortion industry. This ministry is providing the means for abortion workers to safely transition out of the industry and into a life of freedom, with immense support and without fear of exploitation. Abortion workers have been able to confidently get free help through a variety of resources available through this ministry. This is a game changer in the battle for life. To help abortion workers leave the industry, visit abortionworker.com for more information. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
This is Father Larry Richards of Open Line Thursday. I just want to talk to you about the importance of Catholic radio. Catholic radio is an instrument of salvation. People hear about Jesus Christ through Catholic radio, and they get to live forever. But we need you to help us. Please pray for us so that we can continue this work. This is your home, and we're always here for you. Thanks to our friends at EWTN, our programming is provided free of charge. But this station has other expenses that must be paid to keep the doors open and the lights on. Support of your local Catholic radio station helps keep shows like EWTN Open Line available in your area. No matter the amount, your gift works to make a difference for you, for others, and for the future of our Catholic radio family. Please prayerfully consider making a gift right now.
To donate, log on to thequestatlanta.com.
One day I asked myself, if I reconnected with God and went to church, how would my life change? So I did. and I found real answers and peace. You can too. Find what you've been missing at CatholicsComeHome.com.
Welcome back to The Family Room with Mari, John, and Craig, sponsored by Verse Bright on AM 1160, The Quest.
Welcome back to The Family Room, folks. We're here with Cassie Everts, and we're talking about her book, Nursery of Heaven, from Sophia Press. Cassie, one of the standard fares in The Family Room is all of our guests share their favorite Family Room memory. Thinking about your household, what would you share with our listeners as your favorite Family Room memory?
Oh, it's hard to just pinpoint just one.
Kind of like we're asking your favorite child. That's not fair, is it?
Yeah. I really think, you know, my favorite is just when, like, we're together.
Yeah.
Together and everyone just sharing in each other's, like, joy and company. And, like, you can see, like, God's presence and seeing, everyone interacting together, especially when I'm thinking of this last evening. Everyone came, this wasn't in the family room, but everyone came in my husband's and I bedroom because we wanted to get pray the family rosary, you know? And I was putting our youngest to sleep, and somehow we all ended up in our room. The kids like crawled in our bed, and we're all kneeling around, the rest of the older kids all kneeling around the bed praying. And it was just, you know, brought me so much joy those memories, like looking, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant or profound.
Yeah.
It's just the beauty in like being together, and it can just be the most simplest moments. And I think back to some of the most beautiful ones are whenever we bring a new baby home from the hospital and everybody crowds around the baby and everybody wants to hold the baby. And there's just so much love that's like poured out between everyone. So I think it's hard to narrow it down to one, but any time that we're just together and you can just see everyone's joy and love are just some of my favorite memories.
Mm. Communion, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And if your bedroom isn't the family room, I don't know where is the family room. So that's great. That's wonderful. Oh, so before the break, we started to dive a little bit into how you glorified God through all the ways he's called you to, whether it's speaking, but especially writing, and you were able to partner with Patrick. And, you know, I want to start breaking open the book because there's so much beautiful wisdom and faithful responses of people's hearts, and I think things that people can relate to as well. But even just the title, I had never thought about that. The Nursery of Heaven. Would you just start by breaking that open a little bit, of that vision of how you guys came up with the title Nursery of Heaven and what it makes you think of?
Yeah, I think it's really a source of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just like, oh, this nice, like warm, fuzzy title. It's also, we believe it as Catholics and as who we are, that our children, our babies who are lost, even though before they're baptized, you know, we have that baptism of desire that we would have had them baptized, that we believe that they're in heaven, that they're with God and Our Lady, and they're little images of their parents. You know, they reflect our images, our DNA, and they're before God interceding for us and basking in his glory. And so it's not just, like I said, this nice idea, but to really be like, okay, like I have this intercessor, this baby, my child is in heaven with God, and I can ask them to pray for me.
Yeah.
I can talk to them, you know, God willing, someday I'll see them again. So I just think it's a beautiful way to try and connect that reality of between heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
So in the book, or I think maybe a way to think about it, Cassie, is like folks who write are sometimes just writing for themselves, and just it's good for them, and it's healthy, and it benefits others. But I feel like you have some other ideas. There's some topics to actually help people understand how to grieve, and what are the real skills and understandings you would like folks to take away from this book?
Yeah, I think through it that we really wanted the book to be a companion for people who are going through a loss. You know, like I had mentioned that we felt like there wasn't anything when we went through our own losses, or where do you turn to and where do I look for answers? And so we really wanted to just be like an all-in-one companion for somebody who's lost a child through miscarriage, stillbirth, or infant loss, just to be like, here's a resource for you. Like, it has these stories of modern day couples and stories of saints, but it has like, okay, here's some helpful things mm-hmm. that may provide you healing through your grief. Like, these are some just practical things that you could do, you know, making sure that to like name your child if you haven't, even though how many years it's been, like you can still go back and name the baby that you've lost, to really give that child like identity as part of your family. And they, you know, are a unique image of God. And so that, or honoring your baby's life and the reality that you can ask, call your priest and ask to have a burial. And there's different resources out there that provide the means to do that, you know, provide like tiny caskets or the equipment that you might need if you're still going through the process to collect the remains of your child. So you can do that. And that's something, you know, I never knew even as a Catholic, how many years ago, like, oh, I could have done, you know, and you feel like guilty almost, like, oh, my child, like, I never gave them this proper burial, but you just have to trust God. But but you can, there's all these things that are available. And if you weren't able to do a burial, you can have a naming and commending your baby to God, you know, because we can't have a baptism. We don't have our child with us. But being able to, you know, call your priest and ask for that, or ask for a prayer service or a blessing, you know. So we really want couples to know that those things are available. And also just, you know, some practical things. I think one thing when I went through my losses is like, okay, my husband and I are going to grieve differently. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be another like layer to trying to navigate these losses, because men and women grieve differently, different temperaments and personalities, and at our own time. And just to be able, so we have like things like, okay, like communicate with your spouse, make sure you're taking time for each other and giving each other the space they need for grieving, and carve out time for your marriage, maybe going on, you know, having more date nights in or going somewhere for the weekend. And it just things like, you know, you don't think about, because you're sometimes when we're so stuck in like the pain and the loss, we don't think like, oh yeah, like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Or even, you know, you're feeling it difficult to pray. I know for myself, it was really hard to even formulate the words to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously turn to the rosary every evening, my husband and I, but even at times it was hard for me just to like say the Hail Mary, because when you're in so much pain, it's just to express things verbally. But maybe journaling, you know, just journaling or sitting in adoration and just saying nothing. So just providing those resources, we really want people to, when they pick up the book, to be able to feel like comfort, to be able to feel hope that they're not alone, and then just practical ways that they feel like they can get through this grieving process and find peace and find healing through it. And then also, I just want to mention too, like one thing that I think a lot of people feel when they're going through this grief is you feel a shame. You feel this sense of guilt and shame in your grief, because it's like, okay, I should be over this by now. Mm. And it's really a symptom of the culture. You know, we don't respect life.
Yeah.
We say that a baby is just tissue. We refer to the product of conception and a fetus. You know, like, we don't give the identity and uniqueness to who this child is. So you feel this guilt, like, okay, I just really need to move on. Like, this, the baby was only 8 weeks or 12 weeks or however, I mean, or 6 weeks, however long the child was with you. We feel like this guilt in going through the grieving process. And so, you know, we just mentioned in there as well, just obviously not feeling the guilt, but don't feel ashamed either if you feel like, okay, I should seek out spiritual direction, or maybe I should seek out like a counselor or something like that. Like, to just to remove those layers of shame that we really, the evil one wants to like sow into our hearts when we're already feeling so much pain. And it just doing what it takes to allow yourself to heal and allow Christ, like his love, to come and pour into your hearts. So in long winded answer, but that's really what we're hoping for this book, just to provide practical resources and prayers and stories to provide comfort for those going through a loss.
Mm, was there one of those things maybe that was particularly helpful for you, Cassie, as you grieved?
Yeah, I would say frequenting the sacraments and just sitting in adoration. Because, you know, it's so hard. And, you know, so often, like, we want to be doing the talking in our relationship with God. And we're like, okay, like, always speaking and not really just being silent. And I think really just allowing myself to sit before the Eucharist and allowing Christ to speak to my heart, you know, and providing that healing.
Yeah, it's so hard to receive sometimes, isn't it? And yeah, that's beautiful. Just allowing yourself to receive that. As you said, I mean, there's so much in this book, and even the subtitle of your book, you say, you know, for those who might have suffered, it's basically miscarriages, stillbirth, and infant loss. So at any point in time where somebody has lost a child, and you actually have other parents who've talked about their experiences as well, could you provide maybe one of those stories, or one or two of the stories of parents who they shared their loss and what how God was with them in their loss, or whatever it is that they wanted to help people to understand, to offer some solidarity, some companionship, some hope?
Yeah. We were very blessed with the contributors, people who really had more than just sharing their story, because it's so personal. It's almost sacred.
Yeah.
What they went through. And so for them to really share their hearts, and then also, like, they're sharing the life of their child as well in these pages and what they write. And so we were blessed with so many contributors willing to do that, and to have people willing, from those who had miscarriage, those experienced stillbirth, and those who suffered an infant loss. So it's beautiful. You know, I'll just try and share a few here. But in all of them, it's how they saw, you know, eventually at some point, how they saw the hand of God, how they experienced the comfort of God in their suffering. There is a story of stillbirth where she had no idea, you know, that anything was wrong. She was overdue, actually. And they went in to discuss, like, when they would be inducing her. And then they went at that appointment, they couldn't find a heartbeat. So they admitted her to deliver. And I can't imagine the pain of going through that that laboring process in the hospital to deliver a stillbirth child. But as she, after she delivered the baby, she had been new to the prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But she found it very comforting, so she kept, like, saying it over again, and was really clinging on to that after she had delivered her daughter. And then she looked up and she happened to know that it was 3 o'clock. And it was like, just, you know, that little, I don't want to say sign, but like that moment of comfort from God to be like, I'm with you, you know, I'm here with you in this pain as you cry out to me, and as you continue to trust in my heart. A story of infant loss was, a mother who was pregnant with twins, and she had no idea that, everything looked healthy. They had no idea anything was wrong, with their daughter. She gave birth to her babies, a son and daughter, and, they took the daughter away right away to the NICU, and, days turned to weeks. And they continued to run tests, and they couldn't figure out, you know, why the baby never made any noise or opened her eyes. And it was in a time when she knew that her daughter was going to pass. Like, she knew that her daughter would not continue on earth. And she was holding her baby and sobbing and rocking her child. And it was the middle of the night in the NICU. And a person she had never seen before, because, you know, she was staying in the NICU all the time with her daughter, a person she had never seen, who was like a janitorial staff, never seen this face before, came in her room and said, God is here with you. Do you know that? And I, like, fight back the tears, because I just can't imagine that moment. And this person left, and she never saw this person again. But it was like those words of comfort in that moment that she needed to hear to help her heart, to know that God was with her in this suffering and in this pain. And I think there's so much beauty for people who are going through that and going through this, the loss and the pain, the suffering, to know that God is with them and to have our heart open, that it would always be like this magnificent, you know, like billboard sign, but like in these small moments, like God is going to speak to your heart.
In the middle of the night.
If we're willing to listen. And to bring you that comfort and that peace.
That's beautiful. So you tell us about regular people right here, but you also remind us that the saints, who were also regular people like us, right, they also suffered as well. Do you have a favorite saint story that you share in your book?
Oh, there are several, several favorites, because it's so beautiful that, you know, when we think of saints, we think that, okay, they live these virtuous and heroic virtue, you know, in their life. And that's why they're canonized, but they also were human and they felt pain and they felt grief. And so in the stories that we share of the saints, I have found so much comfort myself, being like, okay, even though they were faced with a loss and suffering, they're like, still not question God, but they still had the hurt and the grief, like, God, where are you taking us? Or where are you in this, God? Like, they said those things in their pain. And we think of, okay, St. Zélie and Louis Martin. They're five daughters, consecrated religious, like beautiful examples of parents and holy parents, but they also lost four children in a four-year period. And so that grief that they went through and they carried in their hearts, but also Zélie, when her brother and sister-in-law went through a loss, she was able to write and say, your baby is with God. You know, he sees you and you will see him again. And so she was able to use her own experience to provide that comfort for them. Another favorite is servant of God, Chiara Corbella, who's just, you know, a really young saint. She only lived, I think, till like she was 28 years old. And she died in 2012. So just a modern day saint. She had three children. She was only married 3 years. But in that time, her first two babies, they found in the ultrasounds that they wouldn't survive, that there was, you know, health issues, kidneys missing, her daughter, part of her brain. And in both cases, for her daughter first and then her son, the doctor encouraged them to have an abortion. And they said, no, we will carry these children with us for as long as God allows us to. And she writes, you know, her daughter, Maria, she gave birth, and I think Maria only lived like 30 minutes. But she said it was one of the most beautiful and happiest days of her life. And so, and then after the diagnosis of her son, it was then that she said, okay, God, where are you taking us? And I think it's so just the reality that they felt these human feelings and grief that all of us feel, but they kept their eyes fixed on Christ. And I think that's where the witness is for us. For people who read the book, just keep your eyes, you know, fixed on Christ, and he'll comfort you.
So that is profound. And then there's a whole practical side of your book, Cassie. And, one of the things that caught my eye was the 10 things not to say to someone who's had a miscarriage, right? I think most people are super well-intentioned, but there's just some, you offer some good guidelines. Take a minute and speak to some of the more practical things, if you would, please.
Yeah, I think, like you said, people are very well-intentioned. I think it's oftentimes that they say it without meaning to be hurtful. They say it because they're trying to find something to say to comfort you. But in the end, it's like, it's not comforting. Like, oh, you can have another child, or this one wasn't meant to be. I had somebody tell me, like, oh, just buy a dog. It's like, well, we don't want a dog. We want a baby, you know? So they say these out of well intention, or but it is very hurtful for the person who is, you know, suffering and who is going through the loss. And there's never like the perfect words for people who have like a family member or a friend who's gone through a loss. You're like, okay, what can I say that will bring them healing or will bring them comfort? And there's no, you know, really, I don't think there's anything like the perfect phrase to say. But I think just acknowledging people that have that are experiencing this loss, just even sending them like a text, I'm praying for you. It can just be as simple as that, or I'm thinking about you, or how are you today? If they have other children, can I watch your kids for you? Is there anything you need? Can I pick you up groceries? I mean, it doesn't have to be these profound phrases or, you know, paragraphs. Or it just a simple effort that they know that they're on your heart and that they're being prayed for and that they're being thought about. And I think that alone can bring so much comfort. So they know, okay, I'm not in this by myself, because I think that's probably one of the most isolating things is when someone's going through this kind of a loss, they do feel that just being alone and that they have to suffer and go through this grief by themselves and they feel isolated. Sending someone flowers or a card or remembering maybe when the due date was of their baby or mention, you know, if somebody, if they, you know, if you know the name that they chose for their child, referring to their baby by name, just really simple ways to reach out to somebody who's grieving, and it can bring so much healing and comfort. I just remember when I was going through my own loss, just a card that somebody had sent, or my sister-in-law gave me flowers on Mother's Day when I had no physical children with me here on earth. It was the most touching thing. So it doesn't have to be anything profound, but just a simple act really can help somebody feel the love of Christ when they're going through this pain.
I think that's so helpful, because oftentimes we try to avoid talking about it, thinking, oh, that's going to be too painful for them. But I love the encouragement for us to speak the name, to recognize the dates, to recognize Mother's Day. That's so, so very helpful for us to know how we can walk alongside. So we've only got about 2 minutes left. We want to make sure that we let everybody know that they can get your book through Sophia Press. So once again, Cassie Everett's book is called Nursery of Heaven from Sophia Press, and it just was released on August 20th. You also have a blog. Do you want to mention briefly your blog before we have you close us in one of your prayers?
Sure. My blog is Everyday Ann, and unfortunately, it hasn't been kept up as well recently.
a little busy.
Yeah. But I started as a way to write about our own suffering that we were going through. You know, before this book came about, as I was going through these years of miscarriage, I wrote about our experiences and as a way to bring comfort, you know, through our adoption process and just, and then eventually, like, just mom life. So you can learn a little bit more about our story and about our family and our life at Everyday Ann.
Everyday Ann without an E. So everydayann.com. And we'll put that in our show notes as well.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So would you close us in a prayer, please, Cassie?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that your book has is that you've got these beautiful prayers. So I know you're going to choose one actually that was from your book for a blessing of parents who've suffered.
Yes, I will pray that right now. And I just want to bring before God and Our Lady all those who are suffering, all those who have gone through this loss, and pray that in this conversation that they will feel hope, that they will feel the comfort of Jesus' Sacred Heart, and the arms and mantle of Our Lady will bring them peace. Compassionate God, soothe the hearts of the listeners. And grant that through the prayers of Mary, who grieved by the cross of her Son, you may enlighten their faith, give hope to their hearts and peace to their lives. Lord, grant mercy to all the members of this family and comfort them with the hope that one day we will all live with you, with your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
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 In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Cassie, thank you so much for being with us here in the family room. We've really appreciated all of the blessings that you've shared with our listeners.
Well, I appreciate being on. Thank you for the honor.
And listeners, we thank you as well for being with us here in the family room. Join us again here next week, here in the family room, where we offer hope, encouragement, truth, and wisdom for families.
Thanks for hanging out with us in the family room. Sponsored by VerseBright. For more info, go to thequestatlanta.com.